God is so good, is he not? Amen. This morning, I am beginning the series that I now do annually on giving thanks. We are a busy people, more in this hour than ever. We are on information overload. I tell you, the finest button ever put on a computer is a delete button. And it's always the one you needed to get that somehow got lost in cyberspace that never came in. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? 3 years ago, your pastor, and just praying and giving consideration to what Thanksgiving is, realized that you can go through what we call the Thanksgiving season. And I wouldn't dare accuse any of you singularly of this, but I'm afraid, as could be true and has been true in my life, Thanksgiving boils down to a rush time on one day of getting with family, sometimes getting with more than one part of the family. And when Thanksgiving is over, the attitude is, whew, glad that's behind us. Now let's try to get in the saddle and race through Christmas the same way. Now, am I opposed to the family gatherings and all? None whatsoever. But folks, Thanksgiving, now this won't be profound, but Thanksgiving should primarily be about giving thanks. Giving thanks is an attitude of the heart. And I remember in that day that I was considering this, I paused. I did not have a sheet of paper as such, but I spent quite some time naming off to God the things that I could think of that my heart ought to be overwhelmingly grateful for. And I would try to take a moment in my private devotion to give him thanks for that. And it didn't take me too long going down that list. I would say, Lord, that mental list, Lord, I'm sure there are things that I should mention to you that do not come to mind. Help me please have things come to my mind. And the more things I ended up calling before the Lord, the more things seemed to come to mind of recent as well as past ways that God had been beyond gracious to me. Before I got through with that day, I remembered something that took place at Bellevue Baptist Church with Adrian Rogers, where annually they gave a Thanksgiving offering for no reason other than to give thanks. Didn't matter what was done with it. We just want to express to God in a tangible way, or they did. Just, Lord, we're just doing this, say thank you. I felt so convicted that day that in all my Christian journey, I did not remember a time. Now, I've tried to be faithful in my tithing and giving since the first job I ever had. But I did not remember a time that I just gave something to the Lord and said, Lord, right now I'm not asking for anything. I want to thank you. And you know, if I had not spent the time dealing with those measures that God had given me, poured out on me, many of them not tangible as such, not something you can put in your pocket or your bank account, but those things that are priceless that money could not buy. If I had not spent the time thinking of those things, I am certain that the offering that I gave the Lord that year, and have tried to be more conscious of that every year, is truly, Lord, a heart of gratitude. I can speak gratitude, but it doesn't mean that I feel gratitude. Hopefully, we bow our heads as many times as we sit down to a table, and we give thanks to God. But there's a little joke, Papa Sam would use it quite often. If somebody said, did we pray before we ate? He said, I did. And the person invariably would say, I didn't hear you. He said, I wasn't talking to you. The point of that being, if all giving thanks before a meal is somebody hearing you utter words, that may or may, you may or may not have been thankful. Is it too honest to say that this pastor has many times opened a hymn book and finished a song and thought, as I close the hymn book, I wonder what the message of those verses were, because my mind had wandered and I was supposed to be in worship. Folks, worship has to be focused. And giving thanks has to be focused. And the truest, purest form of giving thanks is from one heart to His heart. Now, we can give thanks collectively to Him, and we should. But the purest form of that is when you, before God, begin to call and think of your blessings. And you know, I wonder if anybody else in the room is guilty of, you know, I hadn't really thanked God for that in a long, long time until the other day when something happened and it dawned on me that I might not always be able to do that, or that I had not thought about what it would be like not to have that. Your pastor remembers a time that I was on a walker and I couldn't stand and I couldn't sit and I couldn't lie down. And I said to the people at the hospital that day, I need a place to try to lie down. I can't stand up. And she said, sir, we don't have anywhere. You just have to do the best you can. And I know she meant well, but that's what she said. So I saw what you ladies would know, and maybe some of you men, as a sofa table, you know, little narrow tables upside the wall. And so I went and rested my hips on that. And I just held on to that walker. And the next thing I know, I'm on a gurney, and they're hollering, breathe, 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 breathe. And I remember I had breathed, and as I was exhaling, breathe, breathe. I finally, and they got tickled, I said, do you people have any idea what hyperventilating is? Well, there's no way in the world I could. If I did, I was going to pass out. When they found me, I was rested with that walker with my hips on that table. And they said, Pastor, you don't look a bit good blue. You're blue. You were blue. We think you had a heart attack. Are you feeling okay? I said, I'm in enough of pain to kill an animal. I've not had a heart attack. Well, we're afraid you sure you're not doing it? No, I'm fine. I'm just in so much pain, I can't get my breath. So I went through all the tests that it takes. I've had every kind of scan you can have. And they said, well, you didn't have a heart attack. I thought y'all about gave me one with these tests. That's about what happened. My point being, I know what it means that you can't do for yourself when you go to a bathroom. You can't sit down on a commode. If you do your business, you can't finish your business. I know what it means to not be able to get in a car or out of a car. I don't know what it means, though, to have spent a day blind, and some people spend every day blind. You reckon there ought to be any gratitude in my heart for the ability to see, not just out of one eye, but two eyes? I've not been really deaf in one ear. Maybe like some of you, I've had allergies where all of a sudden one ear closed completely, and that was kind of odd. But some people never hear but out of one ear, and some people don't hear at all. My point in that is to say, would any of you be like your pastor, and you take so much for granted, and then we have the audacity to come to a season that we call Thanksgiving, and it boils down to a day when we eat most of anything we want and with family and get it done in a hurry and move on? That's not Thanksgiving. I'm not saying you've done that, but I'm saying I've done that on occasion. Have you? So this season of the year, to be very honest about it, I love Christmas. But Thanksgiving is my favorite time of year. It kind of forces me. Wait a minute, don't be a hypocrite. Don't eat the turkey and the dressing, which I love as much as anyone. Don't go through the motions and your heart not pause and thank God for children that He's given you, for a wife that's been faithful to you, for more blessings than you can shake a stick at. And they all come from the hand of a merciful and gracious God. That's where they come from. You may have found a person who says he got what he got by pulling himself up by his bootstraps. But I want to tell you, one of these days when that ticker flutters a little bit and there's a clot flies through it, it's going to be a little hard to pull on those bootstraps. And it is a merciful God that keeps the heart beating in the bosom. It is a merciful God that loans me air to breathe. It is a merciful God that gives me life and sustains my life in whatever quality I now enjoy it. I owe him not just a lot. I owe him everything. With that said, look with me at Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. I want to talk to you about the power of giving thanks. Psalm 92, I want to read two verses. Psalm is over in the Old Testament. 92 comes after 91 and before 93. It is a psalm or song, so Mr. Schofield wrote at the top, for the Sabbath day, for the day of rest. Why would that be? Why would he have said that? Because when we set aside a day to worship, part of our worship, as you know, would be what? Giving thanks. Say it with me. Giving thanks. Well, what good is worship, and what kind of worship is it if we don't give thanks to our God? Let me read it as you follow along. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. So he says it's a good thing for us to give thanks to the Lord. And he mentions in verse 2, if you notice, two things. The loving kindness of God. And God's loving kindness is where he is kind in his love, that is, kind in his favor. He is a merciful God. He is a God who takes pity. Folks, is that good or not? If it is, say, thank the Lord. Now, we not only, he says, we're going to, in this giving of thanks, show forth the loving kindness of God in the morning, but he says his faithfulness every night. So the loving kindness of God is a cornerstone in our giving of thanks, that he's always a merciful, a God who favors us and has pity toward us. But he also says another cornerstone is his faithfulness. Now, when he speaks of God being faithful, the Hebrew word means that he's firm. Now, let me tell you what the word means by firm. He's not a squishy God. Do you know what it means to walk on a firm foundation? And did you ever try to walk on something, say, that had this type of base of maybe like a waterbed? It's kind of hard to hold your balance. You're not for sure if that thing's going to be stable with you or not. You want it to be firm if you're going to walk on it. And God, in his faithfulness, is a God who's not squishy. In fact, it goes on to tell us in the meaning of the Hebrew word that he's a God that you can find stability with. He's a God you can feel secure with. Aren't you glad of that? In that sense, God wouldn't be like a waterbed, would he? I love to tell people that after Beth and I married a year or two, we bought a waterbed and had to get rid of it because we found ourselves drifting apart. That's not really true. That's not really true. But I'll tell you one thing. If you want some stability in your life, you find God in your life. And you learn how to give thanks to him. Now, the power of giving thanks, can I share with you several things? And we'll be through. Number one, giving thanks helps us focus on God and not our circumstances. Now, let me let you in on a secret. If you get a hold of this, it can help you. Every person chooses the emphasis of his or her thought life. Nobody makes you think a certain thought. Nobody. You decide that. I didn't want to think that way, but I just kind of had to think that way, or this is the favorite excuse, the devil made me do it. Now look, folks, there is not a man, and I'm not trying to be humorous with this, there's not a man who wants to be sitting at a traffic light and 30 women waiting to cross the, when the light changes, 30 women going to cross the path in front of him, and all 30 of them are nude. There's not a Christian man anywhere that wants that. But at that moment, it's left up to you. What are you going to do with your thought life? Nobody can make you think what you don't want to think. And the moment I understand that, I take personal responsibility. And if I will be a person whose heart gives thanks to God, I will be more conscious of God in the midst of anything than I am my present circumstances. That's a good thing. God will see you through it. And so giving thanks helps you focus on God, not your circumstances. Number two, giving thanks reminds us that we are not in control. Boy, that's a downer for a few people who think they control the universe. The reality of it is, folks, you and I do not personally control very much of anything. Not much. Did you know that Psalm 37:23 on your screen reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." God has a path for us. And our basic responsibility is to find out the ways of God and get in on what God wants. And once we do, God takes care of the pathway, and he will see us through every circumstance of life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. I'm not large and in charge. I'm not the head taco. I read the other day about a man who hadn't been married a while, and he went home and told his wife, said, "Let me tell you something I hadn't really made plain to you. You need to hear this and hear this well. I am in charge, and you will do as you're told. I am the head of this house. You will fix my meals. You will be on time. You will have this house clean, and you will do as you're told. And I'm going out tonight, and you won't guess who's going to tie my tie and fix me up." She looked at him over her glasses and said, "Yep, the Undertaker." Hey, newsflash, you're not the big taco. You're not large and in charge. And everybody everywhere answers to somebody. And the largest, most powerful king, queen, president, potentate, and leader of any military will one day stand like everybody else before a holy God. So giving thanks reminds us that we're not in control. Number three, giving thanks helps us realize that we have much to be grateful for. Did you know the person, as I kind of gave a testimony at the start of the message, the person who really never pauses to name and give thanks for their blessings cannot appreciate them until they're gone. Because we so easily forget, man, I forgot how good that is. I think the saddest thing in the world is to let something be passed and you think, oh my, I wished I could have known while I had that how wonderful that is. Folks, that is a tragedy for anybody. Number four, giving thanks takes our attention off of our problems. Now, can we be honest about something this morning as Christian people? Problems are a reality in life. If you agree with that, say amen. But folks, problems are not the only reality in life. That's not the only thing that touches our lives. The key to successful living is how you deal with your problems. It's about 10% what happens. It's about 90% how you deal with it. Folks, life gives everybody at some point lemons. It's going to be between you and Jesus where you're willing to seek him and make some lemonade out of it. Everybody gets it. You know, the devil wants to tell you that nobody's ever been where you are. Folks, millions have been where any of us have been. Millions. We may not know them personally, but they've been there. Giving thanks takes your attention off your own problems. Number five, giving thanks reminds us that God is the provider of all of our blessings. You know, we can choose to live our lives in a way that God can bless, but he's the one and only one who's the source of our blessings. If you have a blessing, lost or saved, it's because, verse 2, that he is a God that is filled with loving kindness. He gives favor and mercy and pity even to those that aren't his children. He lets it rain on the just and the unjust. And many a person that doesn't know him lives under his, what I consider, his general grace, his general blessings. You and I, before we became Christian, lived under his general grace and general blessing. And look back and see that he providentially watched over us before we were saved and kept us from killing ourselves. That is, if you guys enjoyed speed of a car like I did. Number six, giving thanks leaves little room for complaining. Did you know it's very difficult to give thanks and murmur and badmouth and complain? Lord, I sure want to thank you for... I'm so tired of this. It's hard to get all that out in one sentence. And the more you give thanks, the less prone you are to complain. I repeat, giving thanks leaves little room for complaining. Number seven, giving thanks causes the enemy to flee. There is a battle underway for the souls of men. And another newsflash, there is a battle underway for your soul this morning and for my soul. Every person in this room, hell has a program to try to destroy you. The location of the battle is your mind, is your thought life. Can I call your attention to something that's on the screen of Proverbs 23? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The he there is a man. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when you give thanks, the enemy can't stand that. Have you ever had anybody say or heard somebody say, heaven help us, all hell is breaking loose? You ever heard anybody say that? Well, you get to giving thanks to God and being filled with gratitude and praising Him, and your enemy will say, hell help us, all heaven's breaking loose. And that's what you want them to do. Because giving thanks causes your enemy to flee. Last but not least, giving thanks invites God's presence, and it opens the door to continued blessing. I repeat, giving thanks invites God's presence, and it opens the door to continued blessings. Why is that? Because God delights in our thanksgiving. Did you ever have a little child and you just were so proud and so grateful when your child showed some gratitude and turned around and said thank you? And many of us as parents, if not all of us, taught our little children, if somebody gave them a piece of gum or candy, what are you supposed to say? And we were teaching them to say, thank you. We feel like that's an appropriate response. And we were grateful when we didn't have to prod them. You reckon God is grateful when His children say to Him, Lord, I want to thank you. God delights in our thankfulness, and He pours out His favor on those who express honor and gratitude to Him. That is the power of giving thanks. Now, if we miss this part, we may have missed really the real reason we're here today. Think with me. Think with me. And kind of give me your attention. I wouldn't sit in judgment on you for $1 million. But pause just a moment and consider in your heart. Do you have a thankful heart? That's either a yes or a no. You may say sometimes like I have, well, I think I do. Well, would you be willing to examine that? When is the last time that you thank God for anything? And how long has it been since you just said, Lord, to tell you the truth, you've blessed me with so much, I can't even name it all, but I want to try. And you just took some time, just you and God, and from your heart, you started talking to the Lord about how much He had blessed you. Now, I'm not asking for public responses here, but let me ask this question. Does it hurt too bad for you to say, Pastor, if I were honest with myself, while I'm certainly glad I hadn't been through hunger, and I'm glad for a number of things, I really haven't, from my heart, looked up and thanked God for a train load of things in a long time. Did you know, while that's not a good thing, Let me tell you what is a good thing. You can this day change that. Before you walk out of this room today, you can start to change that, and you can say this to the Lord, should that be in your heart. Lord, I haven't been as thankful as I need to be, and I haven't paused to thank you for your blessings as I should have. But Lord, I want to start that today. If you like me, you couldn't finish it in this service if you wanted to. There's more of it than that. But Lord, I want to start being more grateful. Barometer. Do you very often say to your spouse, because this is good for husbands and wives, do you very often say to your spouse, I want to thank you for what you do? Folks, can I tell you the Robertson household would be dramatically different if it wasn't for a little short gray-headed woman who has now for 40 years given herself to her husband and to our children, and to really, to be honest about it, unable to do her work because, come on, Mama. You know, when your children were little, at least when ours was little, we heard a lot of this. Moan, Mama, moan, moan. Come on, Mama, moan, moan, Mama. Well, she married a man, and all these 40 years I've been saying, moan, Mama, moan. Come on, we're headed somewhere else. Get your bonnet, we got to go. She was told that sometimes the stuff that was on the calendar she didn't even know about. Now, that was a surprise. Do you often thank your spouse? I don't know who the breadwinner is in your home, but do you thank them for what they're able to do because of continuing to work and provide? And you have things that, folks, most of us are like a bunch of millionaires compared to people in other parts of the world. My soul. If I have a boot at home with a hole in it, it's only because I hadn't taken it to have it repaired. I went and looked at a number of shirts this morning. Some of them the same color. I had other color shirts. I had a number of suits. And those are just things that moths are going to finally destroy anyway. But what about the array of things that's hanging in this closet right here? Oh, you don't see it. But in here is a storehouse of belongings that if I had all the gold at Fort Knox, it couldn't buy it. How long has it been since you said to the members of your family, thank you for making this home a sweet place to live. Thank you for not being a negative person. Thank you for trying to build up the members of this household. Maybe what needs to be said is some of us say, forgive me for not being one that leads out in giving thanks. You see, folks, we're bent toward our weak side. And we learn to complain and repeat it a lot quicker then we learn to consistently give thanks and repeat that. So today in the time of invitation, it may not require you to come down here. If you're not a Christian and you want to be saved, I wish you would come. I pray that you'll come. I pray that you'll want to repent of your sins and have a brand new start with God. He'll be willing to forgive your sin if you repent of it. And you can start afresh with God as his child living in your heart. But you can make some decisions that's going to revolutionize your life and never leave where you are. But whatever you need to do to please God, would you do it? As we bow together, and I ask that nobody, unless you have a health problem, nobody be leaving, please. Let's pray. Father, on this morning, we pause to give thanks to you. To you, O God. There are lots of people and influences in all of our lives, but Lord, there would none be there if it wasn't for you. You're the source of all of our blessing, and what a blessing you are. You are the wheel around which all of life revolves. I pray this very morning that God the Holy Spirit would take these words about your loving kindness and your faithfulness. and would drive that deep into our souls. And we could leave here today with a more grateful heart, giving thanks to you than we've been, if not forever, in a long, long time. Spirit of God, work that deep within us. And may we consciously and willfully become obediently people who give thanks to you. Thank you for this congregation. Bless them all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand for the invitation? This is what we call the response time.